Today, our readings, of course, in our Lenten journey in the Gospel of John are long ones, so you may remain seated for John, and then we'll stand for the reading of our epistle letter to the Ephesians. John chapter 9. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground. He made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and he washed and he came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and I washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of the Lord. I'm going to graciously ask Liz to rewind, and I invite those who are able to please rise as we come together for our Lenten Alleluia. Our reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up. When we live with our secrets, we live in our darkness. And I think deep down inside, each and every one of us have our demons that we wrestle with. We have our secrets, our skeletons in our closet. And when we live there, when we tuck that away, and we live in those moments when we cling to these realities of who we are, we live in the darkness. Even when it's not a secret, but we live in denial of truth and denial of what God asks of us and how God asks us to live, again, we still live in the darkness. But yet Paul, to the people of Ephesus, Paul to the people of Corinth, to the people of Galatia, to the Colossians, time and again, he calls them out into the light. In our long gospel reason, our gospel lesson this morning, we have this long debate about blindness versus sight. And the Pharisees themselves are also entrapped in the law. It's not so much about this man in their community suddenly being able to see and giving thanks and praise at such a miraculous thing. Instead, what it is it's an absolute cutthroat debate about who did it, where did he come from, and of course the day of the week that he does it, right? Again, they too, at the end of our gospel lesson, they say, well, we can see, we aren't blind, so therefore, what do you say, Jesus? And he says, because you see, but you do not see what the Son of Man does, you are blind. Are we blind? Well, I certainly think we live in a time of darkness. We live in a time of darkness in which we constantly debate what is truth. And our definition of truth is always rooted in the darkness of who we are, in the darkness of the fall of man, the darkness in our fall from God's grace, time and time and time again. This week I was watching the news because I only watch enough news to decide what to pray about. Amen? I mean, the news is great fodder for some attempts of understanding what's going on in the world. And it's not so much because the news or the stories are entertaining. It's because it shows so many different dynamics of, in theory, what is truth. What blows my mind is just how divided a news story is. Last I checked, a fact is a fact. And if a fact is indisputable, then there you have truth. But when we have facts that are absolutely different sides of the same coin, I find myself asking, are we in the darkness? And dare I say, amen, yes, we are. This week, we spent countless hours talking about a drone with fuel sprayed all over it and a propeller getting bent and falling into the ocean, and this is going to kick off World War III, is what we all talk about. And we talk about this great debate on to go to war or not to go to war, to support war, to not support war. It's a dangerous topic to even enter into. And I even heard one news journalist this week make the claim that anyone that does not support the war in Ukraine is completely and utterly aligned with Putin himself. Putin, who raises up a regime that is against homosexuality and only supports Christians. The fact that I heard that as a news article, the fact that Christians got lumped into that argument, blows my mind. And I find myself asking, are we living in the dark? I read two more journal articles this week talking about different federal court, circuit court decisions, again talking about prayers in the school districts, again talking about what's allowed, what our children can say and what they can't say, and in one side of the argument, every other religion in the world can be supported, but yet our faith, we dare not speak in the hallways of the school. And I find myself asking, do we live in the darkness? The other night I shared a beer with a friend of mine who is a combat veteran, has a few Purple Hearts, and has been to war and back many a time. I just asked him, I said, this is the narrative that's given to me as a young man to talk about war or not. How do I understand from your perspective? Tell me what we should believe here. And he gave us the old adage, war is he asked me, he said, I hope to God we never have to see such a thing, because at the end of the day, no matter where you stand, there is a mother attached to each person in conflict. There is a family attached to, no matter which side you stand on, that will grieve. And that is a clear example of a darkness that we live in. Amen? Amen. I found myself in a conversation with a couple young parents this week. They were in this great debate, do we get our children cell phones or not? I survived without one. My childhood allowed me to survive without one. And I asked the question, I listened to the debates and the arguments, and I heard all the arguments, and a number of them are sound arguments. But what concerned me more is less in the moment about whether a child deserves a cell phone or not, but it's the fact that the child suddenly seems to be the dictatorial force in the family that's going to win the argument that they get to have a little pocket-sized computer in their hand. And in one hand, for the sake of the argument that a child needs to be able to get a hold of mom and dad, I get that argument. But you haven't sat down with the families. I've got a handful of families that we're talking to that are talking about the addictions of how their kids cannot have a conversation with a peer unless it's through a text message. We have children that literally cannot converse with one another unless there's an electronic form in their hand. And we've got kids and adults, but kids growing profoundly addicted to pornography. Why? Because of that little black box that fits in your pocket. But dare, do we live in the darkness? Apparently it's debatable. We could go on all morning, and I'm not. But I find myself thinking back into our Ephesians text today, where Paul comes in and he says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Those are actually not Paul's words. Yes, he wrote it. It's actually the words of an early Christian hymn. It's a Christian hymn that they would have been singing, and Paul and his communities would have known it. And he quotes those words, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Our truth, no matter how we paint it, no matter how much we paint the picture, no matter how much lipstick we put on it and pretty up our definition of truth, our truth always stands in the darkness, and Paul is one to clearly bring that out. And what I find fascinating is Paul, the difficulty about preaching anything from Paul is Paul, I've been told time and again, Paul sounds very legalistic, Pastor. Paul gives us a lot of clear words that are difficult for us to hear and difficult for us to read. And I'll be the first to admit it. Oftentimes when I'm reading Paul, the first chapter of Romans, the third chapter of Corinthians, the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I cringe and I'm like, oh, that's hard to preach. Why? Because it feels like it's going to create lines in the sand based on everyone's different perception of truth. However, what we forget is everything that Paul wrote is after his conversion into Christianity. So when we tell ourselves that we don't like what Paul says, we think that Paul is divisive in his words and that his gospel truth message cuts deep, then we're shirking the fact that everything he wrote is Christ-inspired itself. Let's go back to Paul before he was Christian. I think Paul would have been the ones that would have patted the backs of the journalists on TV giving us the news. I think Paul would pat the backs of all the court justices that tear down some certain aspects of faith. I think Paul would pat the back of those that are more interested in clinging to God's law, clinging to the laws of the world, and forgetting to embrace the gospel. Let us remember who Paul was when his name was Saul. Before Paul encountered Christ, he was one of the top echelon soldiers of the Sanhedrin. In fact, in his moment leading to his moment with Christ, he had literally given the certificate of approval to go on down to Damascus, a community where this Christian movement is thriving. And he's given the death certificate, so to speak, of giving them permission to go down with all of his militant men and to round them up, capture them, bring them back for trial and jury and execution. And it's on that road to Damascus that Saul is blinded by what? Not darkness. Blinded by the light of Christ. Literally, the light shines so bright that they are brought to their knees, and what Saul hears are the words, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me and my people?" And he's literally blinded by the light. He goes from the brightest light to absolute utter darkness. When God blinds you, I think you wake up. Amen? And he's on his knees and realizes he can do absolutely nothing but cling to the words that come next. And those words are a word of promise. Listen, Saul, you will go into town and you will meet a brother of Christ and he will give you your sight back. Do you think Saul listened? Absolutely he listened. And of course, Christ gives this message to this brother in Christ and he says, Saul is coming to town and you're going to meet him and you're going to be a brethren. You're going to meet him in hospitality, kindness, and you are going to give him the words, my promise, and he will see again. Do you think there was trepidation there? Indeed, there certainly was. But these two men meet, and he regains his sight. And from that moment on, Saul becomes Paul, who steps out of the darkness and into the light of truth. He comes into the truth of who he was. He comes into the truth of how he operated. He comes in the truth of what the law can do when it's broken, misguided, and misleading, and self-serving. Paul gives truth through light. Paul comes from darkness in the law as a Pharisee, but thrust into true darkness, and now the true darkness turns into true blindness, and that true blindness turns into true sight. It's a true brother of Christ who brings him his sight back, and in Christ's light, Paul preaches real repentant change. What Paul says is this, at the very beginning of our reading this morning, he says this, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because there are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immortal, impure, or greedy person, such as a man or an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Verse 17, which is not included in this reading, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we know the Lord's will. We are called to stand apart. When we live in the gospel, the one stumbling block for Paul all throughout his ministry was this. Paul, every community he went into, he was an observer. Paul's ministry was not days. Paul's ministry was not a letter of call in which a pastor's called in for a moment and a blink of an eye, you know, he moves on to another call. Paul would spend years in a community observing. His journeys around the Mediterranean were years long. And each community, he sat back and he observed. And we always often think, too, that Paul, as he stands in these words, as he condenses everything to just gospel truth, that he's almost ignorant. We must remember that Paul was one of the smartest men of his time. For him to be the role and with the respect in the Sanhedrin that he had, he was one of the most educated Jewish men in all of history. He is not an idiot. The darkness, though, dumbed down his truth to one truth only, and that is the power of the resurrection. As Paul stood in all these Greek nations, as he stood in their temples of worship, in their pagan land, as they stood and he listened to all their false idols, he said, "Ah, that's nice. But your gods can't do what my God does. Because your gods don't have the ending of the story that my God does." Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's going to be a day, I'm going to switch to a really dark note for a moment, that we take our last breath. And guess what? The world's still going to turn. It's still going to spin. And when we rely on all the gods, all of our personal truths, and all the different gods of the worlds that we live in, they aren't going to stop for us. But the one stumbling block that many of them could not wrap their heads around with Paul is his God, the one of the resurrection. Some scoffed him. Some mocked him. Some arrested him. But some believed. Because they longed for that God that raises the dead. They longed for the resurrection of Christ. They longed to stand in the light instead of wandering aimlessly in the dark. Awake up, Christians. Awake, come out of the dead, and be raised to new life in Christ. Thanks be to God.